Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As long as I gaze on Waterloo sunset, I'm in paradise.
But is it Barack Obama's Waterloo sunset or Senator Jim DeMint? Who were the Kinks singing about there in invoking the place where Napoleon lost? Why Waterloo Sunset to begin the show today? Well, the quote of the week, maybe the quote of the summer of 09 to this point, comes from Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina on why no Republicans are voting for the health reform bills being passed by House committees. Here's what Senator DeMint told a conference call of conservatives the other day.
This health care issue is D-Day for freedom in America. If we lose this, we'll probably have over half of our economy in some way controlled by the federal government. We can't allow this to happen. And on the other side of it, if we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. It will break him, and we will show that we can, along with the American people, began to push those freedom solutions that work in every area of our society.
If we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. We will break him, quoth Senator Jim DeMint, Republican from South Carolina. Now, the president actually responded to this. Here's about a minute of an exchange between the president and PBS NewsHour anchor Jim Lehrer yesterday.
If people say, as, for example, a Republican senator said over the weekend that we just want to keep on delaying and delaying this thing because we think this is going to be Obama's Waterloo.
Senator DeMint of South Carolina said that.
And we can break him.
Yeah. By, what's that all about? What's he talking about?
Well, I think what he's talking about is there is a certain portion of the Republican Party that views this like they saw 93, 94, the last time there was a major health reform effort. They explicitly went after the Clintons, said, we're not going to get this done. That went down, and the way it's viewed here in Washington is that that's what helped defeat Democrats. So it was a pure political play, a show of strength by the Republicans that helped them regain the House. I think there are folks who think that, you know, we should try that, dust off that old playbook. What they don't recognize is that this isn't about me. It's about the American people. And things have gotten worse since 1993. More people are uninsured. Everybody's expenses are higher. The system's even more inefficient. And so rather than play political games, I expect people to try to be constructive.
President Obama yesterday with Jim Lehrer, no relation. Ben Smith from Politico first brought the DeMint comments to national attention the other day, and he's here now to put them and the president's response in political context. Hi, Ben. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we'll open up the phones here, too, and, of course, WNYC.org, which is always open, for your reactions to the president's health care bill so far. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What do you like? What do you not like in this very complicated bill? 212-433-9692, the individual mandate, employer mandate, the taxes on those who don't get insurance or provide them for their workers, or on the upper income earners, or the public option health plan, or what's getting you about this, pro or con, 212-433-WNYC. We've been hearing from various guests. If you've been listening to the show, you're getting a decent amount of information and different opinions on this. We've got three more today at different points of the show, and we'll take your calls throughout. What do you like? What do you not like in the health care bill? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call us, post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or put it on our Facebook page. And Ben Smith, what was the context of Jim DeMint's Waterloo remark?
Well, he was it was a conference call convened by the National Tea Party Patriots Movement, a kind of, you know, conservative anti-administration group that basically feels like Congress isn't doing enough to stop Obama on any number of fronts, and by a Conservative for Patients' Rights, a group that is fighting Obama's vision of health care reform. And DeMint and another congressman kind of called into this conference call with about 100 activists around the country, and he sort of laid out his kind of his view of the politics of the thing, which was that this would be a massive defeat for Obama.
Why does the word patriot always come into it? After 9/11, the Patriot Act, the people who were supporting the war in Iraq call themselves patriots. Now it's the anti-Obama Tea Party. What's the name of the group?
The National Tea Party Patriots. Though, to be fair, the environmentalists are also big on calling themselves patriots at the moment.
Okay. So as a matter of politics, do you think DeMint is right? If Obama fails to get health reform done, will it break his presidency politically?
I basically think DeMint is right. I mean, and in fact, I mean, I think Obama's criticizing him for casting it as a political fight rather than, you know, a policy fight. But I don't know if it would break him, but it would be a huge, huge defeat. Obama has staked a great deal on getting a bill. I mean, I'm not sure it needs to be exactly the bill that's going to just pass the House. But
I mean, in terms of sheer political analysis, it kind of happened to Bill Clinton, didn't it? They failed to get health reform done in the summer of 94, and he got tagged with being a big government liberal along the way in that debate after he ran as a centrist, and he lost both houses of Congress that fall.
Right. I mean, and it really ended up kind of shaping his presidency, the reaction to that failure. And I mean, I think it's going to, you know, one way or the other, it's going to set the boundaries of what Obama can do. I mean, if he can do this, I think that means that the country has changed, that there's at least within Congress, a consensus or a possibility for really massive restructuring of this, you know, very major part of American life. And if it fails, it would suggest the opposite. And I think that's kind of what's being put to the test.
How much do you think DeMint was revealing the Republican strategy and mindset, just like they all voted no on the stimulus bill, which was a strategy, hang together and vote no on health reform to uphold small government principles and rally the base against the popular new president?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, elsewhere on that conference call, which I listened into, he said something else, which was that we've got to delay this past the August recess. We can't let the president have this vote he wants in early August. We have to wait until the legislators go home to their districts and we can kind of rally opposition to this bill and kind of put a little scare into some of these moderate Democrats on the Hill.
In fact, we have that clip. So let's play that clip from the same conference call, Jim DeMint with the Tea Party Patriots, National Tea Party Patriots, as they call themselves, and the group Conservatives for Patients' Rights the other day on the strategy of delay.
We can have people standing in front of congressmen and senators' offices all around the country on this health care issue. I can almost guarantee you this thing won't pass before August. And if we can hold it back until we go home for a month's break in August, people will figure out what's in it. They'll get outraged all across the country. And senators and congressmen will come back in September afraid to vote against the American people.
So, Ben Smith from Politico. Some Democrats are playing right into his hands. We have Ben Nelson from the Senate and Mary Landrieu from the Senate and also Jim Lieberman from Connecticut, who's an independent, signing on to a letter with a few Republicans specifically asking congressional leaders to delay. Why are they doing that if they know that this is DeMint and other Republican strategy?
Well, I mean, you know, the Senate is the Senate, and they're doing it for other reasons, which is that I think they feel like they don't want this to be railroaded through. I think they'd like to see a more moderate version passed, and they think the best way to make that happen is to kind of slow the train down a little bit.
Let's take some phone calls. Christine, in the Flatiron District of Manhattan. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
I'm not for the health care reform. I think we need to reform the private sector and make it more competitive, more like auto insurance. The healthier you are, the better your premium. And the unhealthier you are, unfortunately, those are the people that should pay.
That's exactly the opposite direction of where they're trying to go, where you can't be screened out. You can't even necessarily be charged more based on your sickness. And the rationale there is, these are the people exactly who are going to go bankrupt otherwise. If you're really sick, then you might not even be able to hold down a job. You're going to have less ability to pay. And a lot of people don't want health care treated as a commodity in that respect. Why do you?
Yeah, because they promote disease in this country. People don't promote wellness. You know, it's a matter of I think that the general public expects handouts. I think the Obama administration is making it more a society of, yeah, you're the government, take care of me. People don't go out and work anymore. They don't take care of their own health. If they get sick, they expect to take a pill to make it better. And I myself am in school to, I'm at a cooking school to promote healthy eating and, you know, eating locally, eating seasonally, eating organically, avoiding processed foods. And I think that
you're going to get sick anyway someday.
I think the better I take care of myself, I haven't been sick in years. I don't have any major health complications, knock on wood. You know, I take very good care of myself. I'm very conscientious about the foods I eat. I make sure to get exercise every day. I'm responsible.
Can I ask your age?
My age is 42.
And can I ask if you have insurance?
No, I don't. And I haven't had insurance for quite some time. And I worked for a doctor very briefly. I worked for a chiropractor, and I saw the money that came in from the health insurance companies compared to what the patient's copay was and how much they paid for insurance.
So you're probably no fan of the individual mandate. Somebody like you without insurance would be required to get insurance or pay a tax under the Obama plan.
No. Why do I want the government telling me what to do and how to take care of my body?
Well, what's so interesting is that is the car insurance model, is that you force everybody to buy it. And
that part of it is, anyway.
And in fact, you do it to force people exactly like your caller, who probably are less at risk and might be making it might be a reasonable gamble not to buy it. So I think what they're trying to do is say, but we need our money anyway in the system.
Christine, thank you. Evelyn in Windsor Terrace, you're on WNYC. Hello, Evelyn.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, look, Obama has to realize we gave him a mandate. He has to stay strong. The public option must be in there. It's the only way to bring costs down. They have to have no restriction on negotiating with pharmaceuticals. That's another way to bring down costs. And it must be financed by taxing the wealthy. They got away with it for 8 years under Bush. We need to get that money back in the Treasury. And the other thing is, he has to lean on those blue dog Democrats. He has to be a Lyndon Johnson. He has to make their lives so miserable if they don't come on board that they will come on board, because that's the only way he's got to play the game like Johnson.
Evelyn, thank you very much. Can he do that, Ben Smith from Politico? Does he have the clout that Lyndon Johnson had when they were mashing Medicare and Medicaid through Congress in the 1960s?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, he's not, unlike Johnson, a master of legislative maneuvering, but he's got a lot of votes and he's got a lot of levers. I mean, I think you saw when the House passed the cap and trade, you know, you saw him. I mean, I think it was more carrot than stick, but you saw them basically bribing reluctant Democrats whose districts had, say, refineries in them by saying, okay, you'll be allowed to pollute in your district. We're going to carve it out, essentially. Here's some allowances for your district. And then their concerns evaporate. I mean, the White House and the congressional leadership have a lot of power to, you know, to do kind of impure but effective horse trading. And I think, you know, that hasn't really begun. But if it's a close vote, there's a lot they have to offer.
So set something up for me, because we have Democratic Congressman Ron Kind of Wisconsin standing by, who's going to be on with us in just a minute. I don't know if you know why he voted no. Of course, we'll ask him. He voted no. He's one of those Democrats who voted no in the Ways and Means Committee last week. Any idea why or what President Obama could offer a moderate Democrat like Congressman Kind to get him on board?
I don't know specifically why Congressman Kind voted no, but I do know there were a lot of agricultural producers who were worried about these emissions caps. I mean, ultimately, the White House bought off enough Democrats on that vote. And that's, you know, they need is 50% plus one, and that's what they got. And so I think in that context, Nancy Pelosi has signaled that she's comfortable letting Democrats who feel that for local reasons they need to vote no on White House initiatives, they get, you know, some of these get through, so there are free votes.
All right.
But he, you know, they got it through.
And on DeMint's Waterloo comment, maybe he was referring to Waterloo, South Carolina, in his home state. Did you know it's a town in Lawrence County? The population was 203 in the 2000 census, and it has a total area of 1.4 square miles.
Good to know.
Fun facts about Waterloo, South Carolina, at least, and Ben Smith from Politico.com, who broke the Jim DeMint Waterloo tape. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And we'll talk to Congressman Kind, a Democrat who voted no on health reform in the Ways and Means Committee, in a minute. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a reminder that you just have a few days left to vote in our Uncommon Economic Indicators video contest. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see the six uncommon videos, each about an economic indicator in someone's neighborhood in our area, each about 2 minutes long. Vote for your favorite, and we'll show the top three at our Jerome L. Green Performance Space a week from Thursday. Vote at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Deadline for voting is this Thursday. And as we said before the break, it's not just Republicans, but also some Democrats who are voting no on the House health care reform bills. We'll meet one of those Democrats now. Yesterday, maybe you heard here, Manhattan Congressman Charles Rangel, chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, which did pass a health reform bill last week. With us now is Congressman Ron Kind from La Crosse, Wisconsin, right on the Mississippi River by the Minnesota border, near the Iowa border. He's one of three Democrats on that committee who did vote no. Congressman Kind, thanks so much for coming on. Hello from New York.
Hi, Brian. My pleasure.
I read that you voted no largely because Medicare pays doctors based on the volume of care, not the value of care. Do I have that right?
No, that's exactly right. I think if we're going to do health care reform the right way, not the wrong way, we have to push harder for delivery system reform. That means value over volume. The current fee-for-service system that we have, reimbursements flow to the number of tests and the number of procedures that are ordered, regardless of the outcome. And yet studies show that close to 30% of all the health care spending in this country, or close to $700 billion every year, is paid for care and treatment that does not help the patient, and in many instances, makes them worse. So if we're going to deal with the coverage issue, getting 47 million uninsured, bring costs down for everyone, those who have it from families to businesses, and have a significant impact on the public budget, we need to reform the system so we're rewarding the quality of care that's given instead of just the quantity of care. That's how you pay for this. And there's not enough of that in this bill in its current form.
Can you get specific? Can you give us some major categories or specific tests or treatments that you think make up the bulk of this wasted, unnecessary care under Medicare?
Well, a lot of health care in regions around the country is uncoordinated. There's no integrated care system. It's not patient-focused. So we have a huge hospital readmission rate where one out of every five people who are released from the hospital have to be readmitted within 30 days, which is crazy, and it's a huge cost driver. When better coordinated care, more follow-up with those patients can keep them out of that expensive system to begin with. But another classic example of this, if you have a high concentration of orthopedic surgeons in a certain area of the country, mm-hmm. you're going to see hip replacement, knee replacement, joint replacement go right through the ceiling, whether it's going to help that patient or not, because they're going to get paid based on the procedures that they do and the quantity of care that's given, regardless if it's in the best interest of the patient or not. So these are some of the quality-based measures that I and others have been working on to revamp this system so that ultimately it's value-based, not volume-based. And that's where you can find the huge cost savings within the current system in order to bring 47 million uninsured in order to reduce those costs for those who currently have health care. And more work needs to be done for there to be a comfort level for many people in Congress to support health care reform.
But, Congressman, you know the R word is going to come up pretty quickly here, which is rationing. And people may hear you and think, well, who is this neutral arbiter who's going to decide that this doctor may give this patient a hip replacement and that doctor may not give that patient a hip replacement if that's what they both agree that they want under Medicare?
Well, first of all, it's evidence-based, and we're going to be focused on the outcome, not what type of health care is being offered to the patient. We're saying to doctors, hospitals, be creative, be innovative, figure out a way to deliver high-quality care at much lower cost, and you're going to be rewarded for doing so. But we're not talking about going in and making those decisions between the doctor and patient itself, but the truth is, Brian, there's a heck of a lot of rationing going on in our healthcare system today. If you don't have coverage right now, if you can't afford it, you're being rationed out of any type of healthcare coverage.
Absolutely.
Unless you have to go to an emergency room, and then those costs are shifted onto people who have it.
How do you judge, though? Let me follow this thread a little more, if you can go there.
Yep.
How do you judge whether somebody's hip replacement is a success and needed, and somebody's hip replacement turned out to be a wasted expense?
Well, there are a lot of quality metrics being established right now, from the specialty groups to the hospitals, to determine what works and what doesn't. And that's, in essence, what comparative effectiveness studies give us. They show us what's working, what isn't, and being able to compare the different practices and procedures from across the country. And we need to develop that even more. And the way to do that is to build out the health information technology system so all these systems are interoperable, so that you can reduce medical errors, increase efficiency, increase the quality of care, but more importantly, collect the data on the procedures that are being ordered today to figure out what does work, and then fund the comparative effectiveness studies and make sure that the stakeholders have a say and a voice in analyzing the results of those studies, so a consensus can be reached in the medical community as far as what's most effective treatment. And then make sure you empower the doctors and the patients together with that information so that they can make logical decisions on what good health care means to them. And that would be a major cost driver to find savings in the system in order to make this more affordable for everyone. So yep. A lot of this work is being established already. More clearly needs to be done. But if we're going to afford health care in this country, we're going to have to reform the system itself so that we are rewarding, you know, best practices as opposed to just more of everything, which ironically can be very detrimental to patient care.
Congressman Ron Kind, Democrat from Wisconsin, my guest on WNYC, is one of the Democrats who voted no on the health reform bill as it made its way through the Ways and Means Committee last week. I'm going to take a phone call for you because we have somebody left over from the last segment who called in to specifically say that he is a stakeholder when it comes to Medicare, and he's got an opinion. Giovanni in Manhattan, yes. You're on WNYC. Hello, Giovanni. You're on with Congressman Ron Kind.
Good morning. You know, the point I wanted to make, as I listened to the congressman, is that I'm 69. I'm in a public option program called Medicare. That is, I get my basic coverage under Section A, and then I opt for an insurance company in the public market for coverage B and for my drug coverage. And I had both knees replaced. And the point that is fundamental to his whole argument is that when I had this done, I had the option to do it under Section B, which I paid for. But the basic service was there. And if I understand the Obama plan correctly, fundamental to what he's saying is there's got to be a revamping as to the way you have to look at how you're providing health care in this country. Yes. One of it is to do away with these unnecessary procedures. The only reason why there's unnecessary procedures, I believe, is because insurance companies and the private profit-making health industry needs those procedures, those added procedures, to make more profit.
So,
and if they make more profit, it's going to drive the insurance up. And so if you eliminate that, and by the way, I listened to Governor Nicholas from New Hampshire this morning on your previous program.
Right.
And he's the incoming head of the Republican Governors Association.
National Governors Association. He made this remarkable
statement. He said in the rest of the industrialized world, insurance, health services are being provided in a more effective way and cheaper.
So Giovanni just very...
What he didn't say is that the rest of the industrialized world provides some kind of governmental insurance program.
Right. So real quick, Giovanni, do you feel more taken care of or more threatened by the ways that Congressman Kind is saying that Medicare needs to look at expenses in the future?
No, I think he's absolutely correct.
Okay.
And I think the government is saying, and Obama is saying is right, you've got to look at this and put this in perspective and think about wellness and think about doing away with these unnecessary programs.
All right, Giovanni, I'm going to leave it there. You had your say, and we're going to get some other voices on here. Congressman Kind, are you for the basic provisions that we keep hearing about in Obama health reform, individual mandate, employer mandate, public option health plan, taxes on the wealthy to help pay for it?
Well, first of all, I think Giovanni's closer to the truth than you realize. And let's face it, when you have a reimbursement system that rewards the number of tests and procedures that are ordered, you know, the providers are going to figure that out, and they're just going to order more tests and procedures, not all of them. And in fact, there are some wonderful models of quality health care at much lower cost that you can point to in the country because of the way they revamped their health care delivery system, where it's patient-focused, it's coordinated, integrated care with an emphasis on primary care physicians. A lot of this we're trying to insert into this reform package, emphasis on prevention and wellness programs, some pilot programs for accountable care organizations, medical homes, things to develop better coordination in the care so that it is patient-focused rather than profit-driven.
Right. But Giovanni also said that the reason that they get more people covered for more people healthier for cheaper costs in other countries has a lot to do with the fact that there is more government guarantee of universal health care in most of the other industrialized countries. Do you agree with that?
Well, there's no question that we're paying 2, 3, sometimes 4 times the amount per capita and getting much worse results in this country. So the current system is not sustainable in comparison. But, you know, we face...
But all those... Can I go back? Because our time is limited. So
yes.
Let me go back to the basics of the Obama health reform outline, those things I mentioned, plus subsidies for people who are uninsured and can't afford it. Are you for all those things that
no,
I mentioned?
I believe in the shared responsibility model. And we want to make sure that we build upon the existing system, employer-sponsored health care. If you've got what you like, you can keep it. But we also need to make sure that larger employers are providing coverage, and if they don't, if they just choose not to, they can contribute then to the national exchange to make sure that people do have access to affordable coverage. And just like individuals, too. We're going to have a mandate on individuals so there are no free riders anymore in the system.
So you're for those things. How about those taxes on upper earners?
Well, I want to focus on delivery reform. I think there's more savings that we can find in the system itself before we have to go to revenues in order to pay for comprehensive health care. And that's where the hard work has to be done, because here's the political reality, and this is what makes it tough, Brian, is one person's inefficiency in the healthcare system is another person's constituency. And if others who are practicing volume healthcare, regardless of the results, think that going to a value-based system means reduced payments to them, they're going to fight like tooth and nail to try to prevent that from occurring. And that's the political rub.
That would be the AMA in this case?
Not necessarily. I mean, the AMA has some doctors and hospitals practicing wonderful high quality at lower cost. So it doesn't cut across the entire nation the same way, but there are certain regions of the country and certain doctors performing services that are unnecessary, and that's where the money flows to. And now to change that on them, they're going to go to the representative and say, hey, if you support this, that means reduced health care funding to your hospital, to your constituents. You can't support it. And that's the hurdle that we have to try to overcome.
And I know your district in Wisconsin is pretty close to the Mayo Clinic across the border in Minnesota. And they came out yesterday against the president's plan. And I think for a similar reason to you, I read that all Mayo doctors are salaried employees.
Right.
And they work to avoid incentives to provide too much care or too little care. So no doctor earns more by ordering an extra test or procedure. No doctor earns less by referring a patient to a Mayo specialist. So do you think that's a model that can be applied nationally?
Well, Brian, it is. And obviously they have a huge influence since the Mayo system is in western Wisconsin, as is Gunderson, Marshfield. And these are the models that the president has been specifically pointing to as far as the direction healthcare needs to go nationwide, that they've shown how better integrated, coordinated care that's patient-focused, not fee-for-service, helps drive down costs, and you get much better results.
But what do you do about doctors in private practice, which is still so much of the country? You can't put them on a salary, right?
Well, you're right, but you can still revamp the and this is what I've been promoting, and this is why I think the Mayo Clinic has been helpful in my efforts to try to revamp the incentive so it is value-based, and is exactly what they're calling for. But the same can apply for the private doctors, too, and they can, within their own network, develop better accountable care organizations or medical homes, and especially now with telemedicine, better collaboration with other experts so that the patient isn't just handed from one doctor to the next with no coordination, with no sharing of information, which usually results in more of everything and much worse results for that patient.
On the politics, we played the Jim DeMint Waterloo clip before, Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina, who said if we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo, it will break him. I'll ask your reaction to that as a Democrat, and I want to replay for you a clip of Jim DeMint from that same conference call with a conservative group saying how they plan to break health reform.
We can have people standing in front of congressmen and senators' offices all around the country on this health care issue. I can almost guarantee you this thing won't pass before August. And if we can hold it back until we go home for a month's break in August, people will figure out what's in it. They'll get outraged all across the country. And senators and congressmen will come back in September afraid to vote against the American people.
So, Congressman Ron Kind, you are a Democrat. Are you afraid that you're playing right into Jim DeMint's hands and helping to kill the bill by delaying it?
Well, listen, I'm sure there are some in the Republican Party with that attitude. And Jim DeMint's a friend of mine. But unfortunately, I think he's missing the larger picture. This isn't about him or President Obama or Republicans and Democrats. This is a huge American challenge, and it's going to require a unique American solution. And that's what we need to be focused on, getting the best ideas in order to solve the health care crisis with ever-escalating costs, which will bankrupt families, bankrupt businesses, and bankrupt public budgets unless we figure out a way to rein in these costs. And for him to suddenly, you know, turn this into some type of partisan fight, whether President Obama succeeds or fails, misses the entire point. People back home in western Wisconsin don't care if it's a Republican or Democratic idea. They do know they have a serious problem on their hands because health care is becoming less affordable, even for those who have it today. And we need solutions. So I hope this doesn't just degenerate into a big partisan fight and who wins and who loses, because that, you know, that doesn't serve the American people well at all.
But you won't vote for it with the tax hikes on upper earners. Is that the bottom line for you to get you into the yes column?
I won't vote for it unless there is a better way of accomplishing delivery system reform, so revamping the reimbursements to reward the value of care that's given, not just the volume of care. That's the only way we're going to be able to afford healthcare.
And if that doesn't go far enough to make up the half trillion dollars over the next 10 years that the tax hike would accomplish?
Well, I think more needs to be done, certainly, in that area. And it's fundamental. This is fundamental reform, and that is always difficult to achieve. Congress works kind of incrementally in fits and starts. And we're talking about a sweeping overhaul of the healthcare system in order to find more savings to make it more affordable for everyone involved right now.
Congressman Ron Kind, Democrat from Wisconsin, who voted no on the health reform bill that passed the Ways and Means Committee last week. Thanks a lot for sharing your views with us.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, Caitlin Flanagan on why we hold marriage as an ideal but leave it so easily, whether we're from the upper classes or the working classes. By the way, gay people, do you really want to be a part of this institution? Caitlin Flanagan on marriage and your calls in a minute.